Well, as I told you last week, the gospel today is a continuation of the gospel from last week in Luke chapter 4. And it's part of a gospel story or account of Jesus going home to Nazareth. And he read in the synagogue there on the Sabbath. He read from Isaiah chapter 61, which explains the mission of God's anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus boldly is proclaiming after this reading, and he sat down to teach as the rabbis did in those days. They would read the scripture standing up, but then they would sit down to teach. And Jesus said at that point, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." People in the synagogue that day were amazed by the manner in which Jesus spoke, because he spoke with great authority. And I told you last week that I probably, like a whole bunch of other folks, originally thought that the people got angry because Jesus said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." But that's not why they got angry. Things started to turn pretty quickly, as we read in today's gospel. They started out speaking kindly about Joseph's son, but then began to question how Joseph and Mary's son, one of their homegrown sons, could be the Messiah. And Jesus told them about his concern for their spiritual health. And he stated God's desire to help the Gentiles as well as the Jews. This is where things took a 180-degree turn. They got angry. I mean, absolutely furious and mean, too. Jesus answered their questions by saying, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," Jesus continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Jesus was hitting them right between the eyes, pretty much calling them the same thing as John the Baptist called those folks, "You brood of vipers." Jesus was putting the people of Nazareth on the spot, because all they could think of was of the young son of Joseph and Mary. They couldn't see who was right in front of them, that it was Jesus, the man, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus could, of course, sense their opposition and huge lack of faith, and so he pointed out two occurrences in Holy Scripture in which God used his prophets to minister amazing feats, amazing acts of grace to Gentiles, while Israel was steeped in unbelief. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus refers to Elijah. And of course, you know, or you might know, that Elijah the prophet went to heaven on the flaming chariot, the chariot of fire. Wow. Well, he took the time to minister to this widow in Zarephath, in Sidon. I want you to hear what happened to Elijah, that the widow from 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 10 to 14, tells us. "So Elijah went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' And as she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.' 'As surely as the Lord your God lives,' she replied, 'I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord brings rain on the land.'" You can assume, because it said the heavens hadn't opened, there was a 3-year drought. What happens when you have a drought? 3 years. What happens to crops? They don't grow. And they didn't have crop insurance in those days. I mean, really, they had not. They relied on what they grew to eat. They felt abandoned and ready to die. That's why she said, I'm going to make what I can and go home. Me and my son, and we're going to die. Miraculously, the jar of flour and the jug of oil did not run out. But the widow's son died. So what did Elijah do? Elijah took the young man and carried him upstairs to an upper room and laid him out there. And then he laid on top of him, calling out to the Lord God. You know what happened? God restored the boy's life. The people of Nazareth were asking, why the Gentiles? Aren't we the apple of God's eye? Aren't we God's chosen people? Temperature was starting to rise in the synagogue that day. And then Jesus added to that, and he told them about the man who had been Elijah's apprentice and the prophet Elisha, and how he was called by God to minister to Naaman, the Syrian leper, who just happened to be the commander of the enemy army. A Jewish servant girl of Naaman's wife told them that if he would see Elisha in Samaria, then he would be healed. So Naaman got his king's permission, and he went to speak with the king of Israel. Naaman brought enough riches so that he could buy his healing. He got to Elisha's house, and Elisha didn't go out to talk to him. He sent a messenger to tell him, go wash yourself 7 times, 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave a hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. That's 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. He did not want to do this. But eventually he gave in. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. And as the man of God had told him, his flesh was restored. And he became clean like that of a young boy. That's amazing. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. He tried to give riches to Elisha. But Elisha couldn't be bought, neither could God. And so he refused. Here's another example of a Gentile, an enemy of Israel, being healed by the mercy of God Almighty. Jesus is talking of Gentiles rather than Jews having God's blessing. That's what caused the irritation of the people, putting it mildly. The temperature was now past the boiling point, and they started to go wild. And today's gospel says all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard about Elijah and Elisha and who they ministered to. So they got up and they drove Jesus out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. I want you to picture this. Here is an unruly crowd who wants to kill Jesus, and he just walks through. God was present. God was walking through. After all, we know who Jesus is. But it's like parting the waters. The crowd just moved away. Jesus was able to walk through. They had no power. They had no authority. It was all with Jesus. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus went directly to the Jews, but they rejected him. He told them of Gentiles' participation in the kingdom, and so some Jews wanted to kill him, and they eventually did. Jesus was not killed, however, until the proper time, when he chose to die willingly. I find it amazing that they took him to the edge of the cliff. Again, Jesus walked miraculously right through the crowd, untouched and unscathed. This was not his time to die. God was totally in control of the situation. The gospel tells us Jesus returned to Capernaum, where he preached in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and people again were amazed at the authority in which he spoke. Are we surprised? Not at all. God was speaking to them in the flesh, not through a prophet, but it was God himself. But so many of them did not know until it was time. The suffering servant Messiah, who is spoken of in Isaiah 53, 58, and 61, did not come to punish the nations. Remember, anytime you hear the word nations in the Bible, it's referring to the Gentiles. So Jesus did not come to punish the non-Jews, but to bring God's mercy and love to them. I've spoken many times about what mercy means. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. God gives you a precious gift. He doesn't give you everything you deserve. Instead, he gives you salvation. He gives you eternal life. This message that Jesus spoke was and remains shocking to the Jewish people. It was not what they were expecting. Isaiah says that the Messiah sent a light to the Gentiles. They read it, they knew it, but they just didn't get it. It just went right over their heads. And so Jesus was reminding them of that. And what did it do? It infuriated them. They wanted to kill him. This hometown boy, they wanted to do away with. Jesus' announcement that he was reaching out with healing to all people was not what most first century Jews wanted to hear or expected. Jesus combined it with severe warnings to his own neighbors and the people of Israel. They needed to abandon their hopes that the Messiah was going to ride in on a white horse and abolish every enemy that they had militarily. Well, didn't work that way. The Romans and the Syrians, ironically, helped to do away with Israel at the time, because in 66 AD, not all that long after Jesus died, the Romans destroyed the temple. It was torn down. Their beloved temple was left in ruins and still is to this day. By 70 AD, everything else in the city was gone. Jerusalem was no more. Jesus was not worried about their reaction to his words. He just spoke the truth that they needed to hear. It's quite possible when you read the Bible, you study the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you share it with others, you could get that very same reaction. You may have heard some people say to you, "I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to talk about Jesus either." Or the infamous, "Listen, I want to be your friend, but don't bring religion into it." Have you heard the old saying? The two things that you don't talk about with friends are religion and politics, if you want to stay friends. You'll find people that are entrenched in other beliefs and driven more by the culture of the day. We've experienced that. And they have their interests and agendas challenged by the good news of Jesus Christ and his surprising grace. If mercy is not getting what you deserve, grace is what you don't deserve, but you receive anyway because of God's love. God's promises are not always received with open arms, but we can pray for others to be changed, to be blessed by the Holy Spirit, and for them to welcome Jesus in their hearts. We can ask Jesus to help us share his truth with others, the truth that they need to hear. We had two men's funerals, memorial services, yesterday and Friday. Neither one of these men were afraid to talk about Jesus and the effects that he had on them. They were certainly not lukewarm Christians. Neither one of them was perfect, but they loved Jesus, and they were not afraid to tell others. I mean, just look here. This is a result of love. Paradox is the result of Rowan's love for Jesus and also for each one of you. It's amazing. Both Warren Minshew and Rowan Evans knew Jesus, and they were not afraid to tell anybody. The older we get, the more evidence we have to share about God's working in our lives. This should be something we want to share without hesitation. Why is it we can tell friends about the great movie we saw last week or last night or the great TV show, but we have a problem telling our friends about our best friend, the one who has done more for us than anyone? Think about that. This is something that we should want to share without hesitation to anyone, Jew or Gentile. Simple introduction. That's all it is. To someone special to you. And the amazing things that Jesus has done for you. I promise that if you do that, the door will be open. And you let God do the rest. I want you to hear these words from Jesus himself. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." My friends, that's the truth that we need to hear and share. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.